Copyright 1994, Acebo. The Interpreter's RX, Tape 1, Side A, Author's Introduction, and Consecutive Lessons 1, 2, and 3. Author's Introduction.
Hi, I'm Holly Mickelson, author of The Interpreter's RX. You're listening to Tape 1, Side A of The Interpreter's RX tape set. This copyrighted three-tape set is accompanied by The Interpreter's RX book and is not sold separately. If for any reason you do not have the book that goes with these tapes, please contact Acebo right away. You can call us at area code 408-455-1507 or write to us at Post Office Box 7485, Spreckles, California, 93962. The Interpreter's RX is designed to teach you English, Spanish, and Spanish English medical interpreting. These materials assume that you are already fluent in both English and Spanish, but they don't assume that you've received any previous training in interpreting. The Interpreter's RX can help you acquire the techniques of sight translation, consecutive interpretation, and simultaneous interpretation, even if you've had no previous exposure to those techniques. Let me give you a little bit of background about the Interpreter's RX. The Interpreter's RX uses the same proven techniques as my earlier interpreter training packages, the Interpreter's Edge series. But whereas the materials in the Interpreter's Edge series are all designed to teach court interpreting, and therefore concentrate on vocabulary and situations of particular interest to court interpreters, the Interpreter's RX is designed specifically to train medical interpreters. The interpreting situations presented in these materials are designed to approximate as closely as possible those that medical interpreters actually face on a daily basis. The vocabulary used in the translating and interpreting lessons is chosen specifically for its relevance to medical interpreting. And the Interpreter's RX book contains hundreds of additional medical terms over and above those used in the lessons. The Interpreter's RX is a response to the increased demand for specialized training for medical interpreters. Medical professionals are finding that there are ever-growing numbers of non-English speakers in their patient loads, and they realize they need the services of highly skilled interpreters to make sure they are communicating adequately with their patients. Some state governments, concerned about the serious problems that may arise when untrained interpreters are used in the medical setting, are looking at regulatory mechanisms to ensure quality interpreting. For example, California is now administering a certification exam to medical legal interpreters, and a test for hospital interpreters may be in the offing. The Interpreter's RX is designed to help you prepare for this challenging profession, whether or not you have to take an exam. Let's talk a little about the organization of materials in the book and on the tapes. The Interpreter's RX book is divided into four chapters: sight translation, consecutive interpretation, simultaneous interpretation, and terminology. The first three chapters cover the three modes of interpreting that medical interpreters need to master. The fourth chapter, terminology, is designed to serve both as an aid during training and as a reference work whose usefulness will last well beyond the training period. The material on these tapes corresponds to chapters 2 and 3 of the book. How to use the Interpreter's RX book and tape set. How you should use these materials depends on whether you're studying on your own or studying as part of an organized class. I'm going to assume that if you're part of a class, your instructor will tell you how he or she wants you to use the materials. Therefore, I'm going to talk about using these materials to study on your own. Use the first three chapters of the book together. That is, start with Sight Text 1, consecutive lesson 1 and simultaneous lesson 1 on the same day. The next time you use the book, go on to Site Text 2, Consecutive Lesson 2, and Simultaneous Lesson 2. You may find that you need to repeat one of the lessons more often than the others, so you won't always be working on lessons with the same number in each chapter. Since the chapters don't have the same number of lessons, you couldn't do that for long anyway. If you have more trouble picking up simultaneous interpretation than sight translation, you'll go through Chapter 1 faster than Chapter 3. That's perfectly okay. Progress at a pace you feel comfortable with. Interpreting isn't a skill you can develop overnight. Don't try to move through the lessons too quickly, or you won't acquire the mastery you'll need to be a professional medical interpreter. Because interpreting is so mentally taxing, you'll reach a point of diminishing returns after about 20 minutes spent on a given exercise. That's why I recommend that you work on each mode of interpreting for 20 minutes for a total of 1 hour each practice session. You can practice twice a day if you want, as long as you allow a long enough interval between sessions. Don't read along in the texts while you're playing the tape. Look at the texts afterwards. When you're interpreting the consecutive lessons, the question and answer sessions between two people, have your finger on the pause button so you can stop the tape as soon as the question or answer ends. We've left a short gap on the tape between questions and answers to allow you to do this. The gap is just long enough to let you pause your machine, though it isn't long enough for you to interpret what's been said. In the case of a long answer, stop the tape as soon as your short-term memory is saturated. Make sure you don't stop the tape in the middle of a thought, though. Learning to use the tapes in this way gives you valuable practice in determining where to intervene when you're actually interpreting for a client. If you interrupt a speaker before he's completed an idea, he'll lose his train of thought and won't be able to pick up where he left off. Try not to abuse your ability to stop the tape. Push your memory to the limits to expand your retention capacity as much as possible. You may find it useful to go back and repeat some of the earlier lessons after you've progressed well into the book, just to refresh some of the basic skills. Even after you've begun working as an interpreter, it's a good idea to come back to these exercises occasionally. Now I'd like to talk a little bit about each of the three modes of interpretation taught in the Interpreter's RX. Sight translation. Sight translation is an oral translation of a written text. Most of the sight translation done in the medical setting is from English to Spanish, so the majority of the sight translation texts in the Interpreter's RX are in English. Occasionally, however, you will be called upon to sight translate a Spanish document into English, and I've included a few typical examples of these as well. In sight translation, the interpreter has to process a thought in the source language and generate the target language version of that thought while simultaneously processing the next source language thought. Consequently, sight translation requires great mental agility and concentration. It is important to have the correct terminology at the tip of your tongue so you don't have to pause and search for the right word, which is distracting and confusing to the listener. Smooth pacing and clear enunciation are essential. Ideally, a sight translation should sound as if you were reading a document written in the target language. When you do the sight translation exercises in the book, translate each text in its entirety without stopping to look up unknown terms. This tests your problem-solving ability. Resourcefulness is a key element of interpreting. Make sure you do all the sight translation exercises out loud, and if possible, record yourself so that you know how you sound to the listener. After you have completed each text, look up the terms you had trouble with and write them down for future use. Consecutive interpretation. Consecutive interpretation, where the interpreter waits until a complete statement has been spoken and then begins interpreting, is the main form of interpretation used in medical situations. A very high standard of accuracy applies in consecutive interpretation. Not only must you convey the content of the source language message, but you must also convey elements of that message that are not contained in the words, pauses, tone of voice, stress, and so on. Many interpreters regard consecutive as the most difficult mode of interpreting because it is so hard to retain all of these aspects of the source language message. The best way to do the consecutive lessons is to have two tape recorders, or a single recorder with two tape stations. Use one player to play the tape and the other to record your rendition. Pause the recorder after each question or answer, as I mentioned earlier. Then record your version of the question or answer on the second tape. When you play back your rendition, read along in the script as you listen to it to check for accuracy. If you don't have two tape recorders, you can switch cassettes in the same recorder. Alternatively, you can give your rendition without recording it and simply read the script immediately afterwards to check for omissions. Do not read the script while listening to the tape for the first time, though. Simultaneous interpretation. Simultaneous interpretation, where the interpreter speaks at the same time as the speaker, isn't used much in medical interpreting. But some medical professionals prefer it because it saves time. Therefore, you should be prepared to perform this task in case you are asked to do it. Moreover, if you take an exam for medical interpreting, you will probably be tested in simultaneous as well as consecutive interpreting. When you are asked to interpret simultaneously, you are more likely to have to go from English to Spanish, that is, to interpret the doctor's words to the patient rather than vice versa. So I've included more lessons for interpreting English to Spanish than Spanish to English. Simultaneous interpretation isn't really simultaneous at all. The word simultaneous suggests that the interpreter is interpreting a message at the same moment he or she hears it. In fact, there's a delay between the moment the interpreter hears a thought and the moment he or she renders that thought into the target language. This is necessary because it takes time to understand the original message and generate a target language version of it. Meanwhile, the speaker goes on to the next thought, so the interpreter has to generate the target language version of the first thought while processing the speaker's second thought. This delay is known as décalage. The longer the interpreter is able to wait before beginning the target language version, the more information he or she will have, and the more accurate the target language version is likely to be. You may have noticed that I've been talking about thoughts rather than words. The interpreter's task is to convey the meaning of the original message. Every language organizes meaning differently, and trying to find direct equivalents in two languages often leads to absurd results. So, as you listen to the source language message, you have to set aside the external structure, the words, and pay attention instead to the underlying meaning. The lessons in the simultaneous chapter are designed to help you acquire the ability to lag behind the speaker while you analyze the meaning of the original and generate your target language version without losing the train of thought. Before you can follow the instructions for simultaneous lessons, you'll need to know what the directions mean when they tell you to shadow. To shadow is to repeat what the speaker says word for word in the same language. Try to lag a full thought behind the speaker when you shadow. This helps you get used to talking and listening at the same time. Repeat the shadow exercise until you can shadow everything the speaker says without leaving out any words. Simultaneous lessons 1 through 6 each consist of a Spanish shadowing exercise followed by an English text for you to interpret into Spanish. Lessons 7 through 9 reverse this pattern. They start with an English shadowing exercise followed by a Spanish text for you to interpret into English. Each shadowing exercise has been written specifically for the interpreting text that follows it, to get you thinking about the subject matter you will be interpreting. Then the correct terms and phrases will be fresh in your mind when you begin interpreting. Consecutive Lesson 1 is coming up in just a few seconds. You might want to make a note of the reading on your machine's tape counter now. That way you'll be able to easily skip over this introduction when you want to get to the consecutive lessons on this tape. I hope you find these materials useful. Good luck with your training program.
Consecutive Lesson 1, Medical History.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Bonilla. I'm going to ask you a few questions about your medical history before the doctor examines you, all right?
Sí, señorita. Está bien.
First of all, what is the reason for your visit today?
Pues, mi abogado me dijo que viniera con este doctor porque me accidenté en el trabajo y me mandó a que este doctor me examinara.
How did you injure yourself?
Estaba sorteando zanahorias en la línea. Trabajo en una canería. Y cuando estiré la mano así, de repente sentí un tirón. ¡Zas! Y luego no podía usar la mano.
Had you ever had this problem before?
No, exactamente no. Es que trabajábamos muchas horas en ese rato. Hasta 10 o 12 horas en un solo turno y estaba cansadísima.
Do you work standing at a conveyor belt?
Sí.
And do you have to do a lot of reaching?
Sí. Y no nos dejan descansar cuando deben hacerlo. Solo nos dan un descanso a las 12 del día por 15 minutos. Y creo que eso es ilegal.
Now I'm going to ask you some questions about your family. Does anyone in your family have heart disease?
No, que yo sepa, no.
How about diabetes?
No, salvo mi abuelita, pero ya murió hace años.
Has anyone in your family suffered from cancer?
No, gracias a Dios, no.
Have you ever had any infectious disease, such as typhoid, cholera, or diphtheria?
Que yo sepa, no. Siempre he gozado de buena salud.
Have you been vaccinated against tetanus, measles, and smallpox?
Creo que sí, pero no estoy segura. Cuando era niña, vivíamos en un rancho y era muy difícil conseguir atención médica. Pero creo que me vacuné contra todas esas enfermedades. Mi papá insistía en eso.
Did you have any common childhood illnesses, such as chickenpox or mumps?
Sí, recuerdo que tuve paperas y también sarampión. ¿Será que no me prendió la vacuna? ¿O no sé?
Have you ever had any operations?
Sí, en el 85 me sacaron la matriz y también el apéndice hace unos 10 años.
I take it you were hospitalized for those operations?
Sí, estuve internada una semana por lo de la matriz. Y no me acuerdo cuánto tiempo por el apéndice.
Do you have any allergies to any food or drug?
No, que yo sepa, no.
Do you suffer from headaches?
No, nada fuera de lo común. Usted sabe, de vez en cuando, cuando vuelvo del trabajo, muy cansada, me duele la cabeza. pero no padezco de jaquecas ni nada de eso.
Do you have any trouble with your throat, a persistent cough or sore throat?
No, nada de eso.
When was the last time you had a chest x-ray?
El año pasado, en el trabajo, nos obligaron a someternos a un chequeo y me sacaron radiografías.
Have you ever had any heart palpitations, chest pain, shortness of breath?
No, nada de eso, por fortuna. Solo el dolor de la mano, aquí en el codo y en la canilla, y me corre hasta los dedos.
Okay, that's all the questions I have. Just slip on a gown and get up on the examining table. The doctor will be right with you.
Consecutive Lesson 2. Hospital Admissions.
Can I help you?
Sí, señora. Me dijo el doctor que me presentara aquí.
Do you have some medical records for me?
Sí, aquí están.
I see we've been treating you here as an outpatient, and now the doctor wants you admitted for tests. Is that right?
Sí, así me dijo.
First, I'd like you to fill out these forms. Here's a pen. Can you read English all right?
No, señora. Prefiero que me interpreten los papeles, por favor.
All right. The interpreter can help you with these. First, there's the medical history, then the insurance forms, and finally the consent form.
Pero ya di esa información a la recepcionista en la clínica. ¿Es necesario hacer todo de nuevo?
I'm afraid so, Mr. Garcia. Things may have changed since you last filled out the forms, and we don't want to take any chances.
Está bien. Perdone, señora. ¿No hay baño aquí?
Yes, it's down the hall and to the left, just past the nursing station.
Gracias, muy amable.
Let me just go through these forms and make sure everything's filled out all right. You didn't put down any next of kin here.
Ah, sí. Es que no sabía qué poner. Todos mis hermanos viven en Puerto Rico.
But don't you have someone here in the U.S. that can be notified in case of an emergency?
Sí. Mi vecino me hace el favor de atender ciertos asuntos cuando yo no puedo. ¿Pongo el nombre de él?
Yes, that'll be fine. And what is the name of the doctor who referred you here?
El doctor Salinas. Bueno, fue el último que vi por este problema del estómago. No es mi médico de cabecera.
Who is your family physician?
La doctora Thomas.
Thank you. All right, if you'll just take a seat in the waiting room, someone will come and take you to the ward where you'll be staying.
¿Mi esposa me puede acompañar?
No, I'm afraid she'll have to wait down here in the admissions area until you're all settled in. Then she can visit you during visiting hours. She may want to look around in the gift shop while she's waiting. It's over by the elevators.
Hello, Mr. Garcia. I'm a volunteer here at the hospital. I'll take you up to your room now. Have a seat in the wheelchair.
La silla de ruedas. Pero mis pies están perfectamente bien. Puedo andar muy bien.
I know, Mr. Garcia. It's just hospital regulations. We don't want anything to happen to you while you're on your way up to the ward.
Ah, bueno. Pero no soy tullido.
I know. I see you're here for some tests. Have you ever been hospitalized before?
Sí. Tuve una hernia que me operaron en el 86.
Okay, so you know the routine. You're probably only going to be here for a couple of days. Here we are.
¿Habrá otro paciente en este cuarto?
There isn't anyone here right now. There may be later. Now, I'd like you to disrobe and slip on this gown, with the opening in the back.
Ah, sí. Ya me estoy acordando de estas malditas batas de hospital.
After you've put on the gown, hop into bed, and the nurse will be here shortly to take your temperature and get a urine sample.
¿Me tengo que quitar todo?
Yes, I'm afraid so. Here's the nurse's call button in case you need anything. You can watch TV if you like. The bathroom's right here. I hope everything goes well for you. Consecutive Lesson 3. Getting a Prescription. Good morning, Mr. Velasquez. The nurse tells me you're still having some problems.
Sí, doctor. Todavía me molesta donde me operó. Y me siento mareado. Creo que se debe a la anestesia.
Yes, that will soon pass. I'll tell you what, I'll write you a couple of prescriptions, one for the nausea and the other for the pain.
Gracias, doctor. Muy amable.
The trouble is, you won't be able to operate machinery or drive a car when you're on this stuff, because it produces some drowsiness.
Pues, no le hace porque no puedo trabajar de todos modos, y no necesito arrear. Si necesito ir a alguna parte, mi señora me puede llevar.
Good. Now, there are certain things you should know about this medication.
Sí, doctor. A ver.
First, the pain medication. It may cause a little stomach upset if you don't take it with food. Be sure to take it with a meal.
Ándele, doctor.
And the one for nausea should help you with that anyway. But you should take this medicine on an empty stomach. You understand?
Sí, está bien.
So take the aspirin with codeine twice a day, with breakfast and with dinner, and take the antacid in between meals.
Está bien, doctor. ¿Y dónde puedo surtir estas recetas? Tengo una tarjeta de la aseguranza. ¿La aceptan?
Yes, any pharmacy will accept your insurance card. You can fill it anywhere.
Muy bien.
Now, let's take a look at those sutures and see how you're doing.
Sí, cada vez que me agacho, siento que me van a reventar las puntadas. ¿Es normal eso?
Yes, that's normal for the first couple of weeks after surgery. You have to be sure to change the dressing frequently, though, so that it doesn't get infected.
Sí, mi esposa me puede ayudar con eso. Ella estudió enfermería.
Good. So, avoid heavy lifting and exertion for the next few weeks, okay? No weightlifting or soccer matches now.
Vaya, sí, doctor, claro que no. Paso todo el día viendo la tele porque no hay otra cosa que pueda hacer.
We'll schedule a follow-up visit for 2 weeks from today, and at that time I'll probably take out the sutures. Any questions?
Sí, una cosa. También tomo medicina para la alta presión. ¿Habrá algún problema por eso?
No, there shouldn't be any interaction between those drugs. But sometimes the side effects of the hypertension drug will compound those of the painkiller. If you have any problems, just give me a ring, okay?
Es que la etiqueta dice también que puede dar sueño, y no quiero que las dos medicinas me tengan dormido todo el tiempo, ¿verdad?
No, I don't think you have to worry about that, but I'm glad you're reading the labels. With the dosage I'm giving you, I don't think there'll be any problems.
Muy bien, doctor.
So, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. In the meantime, get plenty of rest and don't put too much pressure on those stitches.
Está bien, doctor. Muchas gracias. Que le vaya bien.
Sure. Take care now. End of tape 1, side A.